I was working night shifts over COVID.
What were you doing?
Petrol station. The only good thing that came from that was because no one went there at night. I was just doing my online training on the academy.
Most people go to school, go to university, they get a job, and then they buy a house and pay off the mortgage and retire broke at 70 years old. That is the normal way of life. However, you shouldn't be doing that. What you should be doing instead is becoming rich.
She bought it for 185 3 years ago, and we've agreed 190 in 5 years. And the market value right now is 210.
But by the time you come to buy it, it's probably going to be worth close to 300. He's just 23 years old. He started with absolutely no money. He was flat broke with £50 in his pocket, and I mentored him using these strategies, and now he's completely financially free.
Came in with all these expectations, like, right, I'm going to do this in the first month, I'm going to get all these deals and whatnot. And the first 12 months was hard. Like, we took a deal that went bad, so I was in even worse positions.
I mean, what are you making now on an average month?
We're making between 9 and 12 a month.
Solid, mate. And if you watch this video till the end, you can do the exact same thing too, following the methods that Dylan used. What do your family think about what you're doing now?
Well, they like it now. At the start, they thought I was a lunatic. Brainwashed through COVID, I needed to prove that I was right in doing it.
How did you justify the £12,000 investment for the academy? Dylan from Simply Made Sourcing.
Here we are.
Good to see you, my brother. How you doing?
I'm all good, are you?
Yeah, good. So you should win an award in persistence, bro.
That's
because that first year while you were at university, tell me about it. So what happened in that first year?
Yeah, so obviously the first year I started, it was like, you know, came in with all these expectations, like, right, I'm going to do this in the first month, I'm going to get all these deals and whatnot. And I didn't really take in consideration. I had uni, I have my sports that I do as well. And yeah, I just wasn't in the right mindset to do it. I was like, oh, this will be easy. Like, look, everyone's doing well. And then, the first 12 months was hard. Like, I was getting a few deals, like co-sourcing once every 2-3 months, but it wasn't like persistent.
Yeah.
And yeah, we took a deal, which went bad. Didn't do enough due diligence, just got trigger happy. I was like, oh, I need to get something. And that went bad, so I was in an even worse position.
Because the only thing worse than no deal is a bad deal.
Yeah. Exactly.
And sometimes when you're a bit desperate, you can take on bad deals.
That's it.
I think when you first started reaching out to me, you must have only been like, what, 20, 21?
Yeah, about 21, 22, yeah.
And now you're 23.
23, that's it.
Taekwondo champ.
That's it.
How does it work being a champion taekwondo fighter and also having a business? Do you find that it's a distraction trying to do property on that, or is it like oneness, or how does it?
Yeah, so to be honest, now it's actually really good, because what you can do is it's a bit of time away.
Yeah.
Either or. It's like, you know, if I'm doing the property, it's time away from thinking about my training. Yeah. And then when I'm at the training, it's time to sort of, you know, relax a little bit on the property
side. So with taekwondo, I don't know how much it works. I think of taekwondo more as like self-defense and getting people in holds and pressure points. Am I right?
It's a bit like freestyle kickboxing.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm
it's
more...
It's pretty savage. You kick people in the face.
Yeah, we kick in the face, punch. Yeah. Like that. It's
wow.
Good.
Wow. So how long have you been in taekwondo?
Since I was 3.
Okay. Yeah. Did your parents like push you into it?
Yeah. Well, they started me in 2 things when I was 3. It was, I don't know why they did it. It was tap dance.
Okay.
Taekwondo. And they told me when I was 3, pick one.
Yeah.
Pet taekwondo.
I mean, taekwondo is probably more useful in real life.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Someone's trying to mug you and you're like, hold on, tap, tap, tap.
Do me dance.
Yeah. Have you ever had to fight in real life?
Not really, no.
Do you think that people that are trained fighters tend to fight less on the streets?
100%. Yeah. 100%.
I've even found that myself. And I've seen like memes about it on Instagram. Yeah. But when you, I mean, I'm not obviously a great boxer or anything, but I've had a few fights. But you kind of take it seriously.
Yeah.
And now more than ever, if someone like was giving me grief on the streets, you might think I'd be more inclined to punch them because I can, but I'd be less inclined because I'm thinking, nah, man, you almost know the severity.
You're almost more worried about if you did, what the consequences would be.
Well, that and also you're getting it out, like as a kid, I used to fight a lot.
Yeah.
Just streets and stuff that. But when you're fighting and you're sparring all the while in the ring, the last thing you want to do on your day off.
Exactly.
You don't really want it.
That's it.
So you came to how did you first hear about me and property and everything?
Social media. Just through, I think I saw something pop up on Instagram.
Was it?
It was something about the £1 crash courses.
Yeah.
And I was like, and you're like, damn, gotta have a look.
Were you skeptical or were you just like, yeah, this is good?
Do you know what? As soon as I saw that, I went on YouTube, watched all the videos and whatnot, and I was like, watching the winners on the Wednesdays, I was like, surely not. These can't be making this much money from doing, you know, the rent-to-rents, the deal sourcing, whatnot. And anyway, I ended up over COVID just saving up working. I was working night shifts over COVID
what
and
doing?
Whatnot. Petrol station.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You can see it, bro.
That's it.
And visualize it.
There you go. So I was working there. I was saving up. This was whilst in uni as well.
Yeah.
Uni was online.
What were you studying?
Well, I did a year. I did a year in business.
Okay.
Realized it's not really business.
Is it not?
No.
Was it Open University?
Yeah, it was Univer. It was like the normal degree. And I was doing it and it was just teaching me how to sort of work for a business, not actually own your own business. And I was like, this ain't right. This isn't what I want to do. So I ended up saying, what else do I like? I like coaching. So I did teaching degree.
Yeah.
And during COVID, then obviously found your courses and your YouTube channel. Saved up a load of money. And then obviously we went to the £1 crash course.
Did you get involved in other stuff? Did you ever dabble in like cryptocurrency and stuff?
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah. So over COVID, I was like, put a bit in crypto, XRP, it's going to the moon. So we'll put some in that. We did e-commerce and it was just like nothing was working.
Yeah.
But obviously after seeing all the winners on the Wednesdays, I was like, well, if this is true, if this is right, all of these people can do it.
Yeah, and pretty normal people on Windows.
Exactly,
Windows.
That's it.
You know what's
that's
interesting, it. Though? You picked a good one because property's a lot of longevity. I mean, don't get me wrong, you can make a lot of money in crypto.
Yeah, yeah.
You really can. But I think property is a very good business.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good business. If you look on the Sunday Times Rich List, most of the people that are making millions and millions are in property.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. It's very hard. As I often say, everything's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard being fat. It's hard being slim. It's hard being married. It's hard being single. It's hard having kids. It's hard not having kids. Yeah. You've just got to choose your hard.
Yeah.
So you came to the crash course, had your mind blown. We're like, yeah, I'm gonna into it. We're trying. Bro, I've been looking at reminiscing some of these Instagram messages. Can I read some out?
Of course, read them.
All right, let me find some of the bad ones. Had two SA rent-to-rents running and they've both had issues. I'm 22 years old, blah, 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 blah. I'm so sorry, Samuel. It's the first year. Mate, this is getting deep now. Don't cry.
I'll try not to.
I feel completely broken. I've lost every bit of pride. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I've lost every bit of pride I had. I feel ashamed of how I promised my girlfriend I'd make it. I'm sorry, bro. My mom, to help her. I can't even pay for myself these days. I'm embarrassed. I know my little brother has a failing role model. Dude.
That's awful, isn't it?
It's deep.
Damn.
I need to change this, Samuel. I can't keep living like this any longer. And then obviously we were back and forth and whatnot. But that's about as low as you can get, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is after you've been, it's not like, this isn't your first message to me. Like,
yeah.
You're the reason I created Samuel Leeds AI. But I always say to, you know, people on the academy and that, reach out anytime.
Yeah.
You reached out.
Yeah.
I responded. And people sometimes can see the successful people and they forget that they had to go through the valleys. There's no such thing as the mountaintops without the valleys.
Yeah.
So you well and truly went through that. I mean, what are you making now on an average month?
Yeah. So obviously from that, when that was just over a year ago, now we're making between 9 and 12 a month.
Solid, mate.
Profit, that is as well.
9, 12.
Yeah.
Profit a month. Respect, my man.
Oh, thank you.
And that's
much.
Now more than your business lecturers would have been making.
Well, exactly.
More than the teachers that were teaching you would
that's
have been making.
It. Yeah.
23 years old, making £9,000 to £12,000 profit. That's just incredible. So I want to talk about the strategies you've been using.
Yeah.
You've used rent to rent, lease option. A lot of your money's coming from packaging and selling deals.
Yeah.
Where should we start, man? Should we talk about rent to rent?
Yeah,
what it is?
Let's do it, definitely.
So rent to rent is effectively when you rent a property on a company let with the agreement from the landlord, the agent, the right contracts that you can then rent it out, Airbnb, HMO, and you make profit from it. Because the first thing is, how do you find a property and know that it's going to work for a rent to rent?
Yeah.
What kind of market research due diligence? Because you could rent a property, and as we said before, a bad deal is worse than no deal. So how are you distinguishing a deal versus just a property?
Yeah, of course. So obviously you got to find the property first. So we use Open Rent, Right Moves.
What's Open Rent?
Open Rent. So it's a landlord platform. They go on there, they list their property, and then you can obviously contact them. You can message them and ask them about their property. Uh-huh. Try and get that contact details so you can give them a quick call about it.
Yeah.
So obviously that's great. You can get the contacts and the leads from there, but like you said, you've got to make sure it's a good deal. Yeah. So from there, you can use software like Property Market Intel.
That's a good one, that is.
It's a good one.
It's very good. The fact that you can see all the properties within that postcode.
Yeah.
And you can find out what the occupancy rates
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
Do you use that?
Yeah, we do use that. We use that as sort of a base. So we start there and then we do a bit more sort of thorough due diligence then on the area. So then we go on to sort of Airbnb.
Yeah.
We look at the sort of quality of the apartment. If it's a high-end apartment, then there's no point comparing it to what, you know, a lower-end apartment's getting.
Yeah.
So we look for specific sort of comparables. Then we can go to booking.com. And quite a lot of people don't know this, actually. When you search a postcode on booking.com, put in the night, click search, there's a little map. You can click on the map. And when you go on that, it shows you all of the sort of short-term rentals in that area.
Yeah.
And it also shows you which ones are booked.
Yeah.
So that's another really good way of working out.
And another thing as well that I'll say is, and you may disagree with this, but generally speaking, if there's no one doing it in the area, it probably doesn't work.
100%.
Now, there are exceptions.
Yeah.
Like I've taken on hotels even where there's nothing in the area, but I've just made it so good that people will travel. But generally speaking, if you're trying to rent an apartment and put it on Airbnb, if no one's doing it, it probably is because there's not a market in the gap.
Yeah.
Even if there's a gap in the market, there's not a market in the gap. So what I do is I'll find out, where are the hotels? Where are people doing this? Yeah. If Premier Inn have got 100 rooms, and this is walking distance, and I know they're fully booked, then there's a market here.
Of course. And like you've said as well, Premier Inn use the same model.
They do.
So
they do. Rent to rent.
That's it.
So when people say, oh, rent to rent is illegal, or it doesn't work, or it's dodgy, or it's subletting. Well, no, this is what some of the biggest companies, most hotels work off of rent to rent. They'll rent the building, and then they'll rent it out for a higher amount, keep the cash flow.
That's it.
So, okay. Next question then is, how are you getting landlords and agents to agree? Because I think that's one of the hardest bits. There's a lot of people that watch a couple of YouTube videos and they go, oh, I want to try this.
Yep.
And they ring up, they don't know what they're talking about. And the letting agent can tell they don't know what they're talking about.
Of course.
And then it almost makes the letting agents become resistant to it. And then when you get someone like yourself, who's got now very experienced, they're like, oh, we've heard this before. No, we don't. How do you get past these barriers?
Yeah, so obviously there's two sort of pathways you can go. It's like you've got the landlords and you've got the agents. And the agents are harder to get on board.
Yeah.
Because like you said, they get 50, 60 phone calls a day.
Some of them do, yeah.
Exactly. And they get a phone call and they say, oh, do you do rent to rent? And they're like, no, we don't want anything to do with it. However, you know, going into the agencies, sort of trying to build rapport that way.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
So, you go in?
Yeah, especially in your local area. If you're local to a city like Liverpool, you can go into the agencies, you can speak to them about it.
And if they give you resistance, you can just use your taekwondo skills.
Well, there you go, use the taekwondo skills. That's it. Or just keep going in.
Yeah.
Keep going in.
Do you?
Yeah.
So even if they say no?
No, if they say no first, they've probably said no to everybody else. But I bet majority of people don't go back in.
Well, so hang on. So you go in. They say, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
And then you go back next week.
And we'll go back.
Really?
That's it, 100%.
How many times would you keep going? Just keep doing it.
About four or five times.
Four or five times.
Yeah. They'll almost get sick of you.
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, all right, there you go.
Really?
Yeah, of course, definitely.
Have you had that?
Like, yeah, we've had it in Liverpool. And funny enough, now, they don't put them online.
What do they do?
They just come to me first and say, look, will this work?
Wow.
If it does, we can just sell it straight away.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just kind of like wear them down and make them think, then we'll give you one just to get you off our back. But I bet when they do and they see that actually this works fine, then they'll push you a lot.
Exactly. And so, to be honest, some agencies have done it before and they only say, oh, we only work with credible, deal sources or credible sort of companies that have been running over a year, and they're quite easy about it. But obviously beginning, you don't have that credibility.
Yeah.
I'd say just go in and be persistent and show them that you're dedicated to it.
The problem is though, Dylan, when you're feeling like crap and you're feeling like, oh, this isn't working and I'm ashamed, and going in with a smile and having that cheeky kind of is really hard.
100%.
It's really hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you saying then? Let's say you're speaking to a landlord or you're speaking to an agent. What's your script? What's your, presumably you're not saying, do you do rent to rents?
No.
What are you saying? I'm the letting agent. You've walked in for the very first time. We've never met. And I'm like, hey, how can I help? What are you saying?
Yeah, we're just saying, so look, we've saw a few of your properties online and we were wondering if you could have a quick chat about it and see which one's suitable for me.
Sure. Come and have a seat. Perfect. What are you looking for?
So we're just looking for like a 2-3-4 bedroom house in Liverpool around the city centre, Anfield area. Have you got anything of that?
Anfield, L6?
L4, but L6 will work as well.
Okay. What's your situation? Is it for yourself? Are you going to be living there? What's your...
Yeah, so my situation is obviously I've got a company, and what we'll do, we'll be renting it out to our corporate clients and professionals that are coming into the area on short to medium term stays.
Okay. I'm not sure if the landlords would be okay with that. What I'll do is if you leave your details, I'll speak to the landlords, and if anyone's interested, I'll give you a call.
Yeah, of course. That's no problem. Well, how about this? What about if we see if the property would be suitable first? So if we could do the viewing, potentially, you know, see if it'd work for us, we'd look around it. If it's all great, then potentially we can propose something to the landlord from there.
Yeah. You know what? It's very difficult, isn't it? When you're in person, over the phone, it's easy to just bob you off. But in person, it sounds so reasonable.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
They'll presumably sometimes be really, no, absolutely cannot.
Yeah.
But often they're going to go, yeah, well, have a look around.
Of course, come and have a look around.
So that brings me to the next point, which is about referencing.
Yeah.
So let's say that the agent shows you around a property and says, yeah, you can have a look. No guarantees, because that's what they often say, isn't it? Look, no, I can't guarantee anything. That's Have a look. So you look around a couple of properties, you do your research, you go on Property Market Intel, you put your plan together. They're looking for $1,000 a month and you can give it $1,000 a month and you do your numbers. How are you making the offer and what kind of things are they making you, like what kind of references generally are they asking for?
Yeah.
It's a brand new company, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So if it's a brand new company, it's obviously a little bit trickier to get them. They might ask for a guarantor.
What's that? How does that work?
So a guarantor is just there in place to make sure that the rent's being paid. So for example, if there's a new company, they might say, look, we need a personal guarantor.
So you would put yourself down or you would find a family member, a friend, a business partner to put their name down to say that if the company fails to pay the rent, they'll then step in. You.
Exactly. That's it.
Have you had to use any guarantors?
We have not.
Cool. And again, guarantors, then they're going to check the guarantors income and whatnot. Okay, cool. So then you put your offer forward. You think it works. Are you having break clauses?
Yes, we have a break clause specifically for, well, us or the investor.
What is a break clause? Let's say you signed a 5-year rent-to-rent agreement.
Yeah.
How does a break clause work?
So break clause is essentially just to make sure that you've got some breathing space to make sure that it's actually working. Because the last thing you want to do is get into a fixed 3-5-year contract and it's not making.
Yeah.
Although you just want to have that certainty that you can.
What are some of the deal breakers then, Dylan, in terms of, because there's some things, aren't there, which would mean that even if it works on paper, even if the landlord and the agent are like, yeah, we're happy, there's some things that would prevent you from being able to do it. What are those things?
Main one is head lease.
Yeah.
Head lease restrictions. They're a pain.
They are. And they're often with apartments. Are you getting houses or apartments mostly?
Mostly apartments, to be honest. Mostly houses, sorry. And then the apartments we do get sometimes are in a block. For example, we just got 2 in Liverpool and they're in a block of serviced apartments.
Yeah.
So it's completely fine. We check the head leases and whatnot.
How do you check the head lease?
You've just got to make sure that you have the paperwork. So the owner should have paperwork that obviously can provide you with the information.
So the head lease effectively is when it's a leasehold apartment.
Yeah.
And the freeholder that owns the actual block might have a restriction to say that you cannot rent this out to people on short stay lets.
Yeah.
And then if you then agree to rent it from the landlord from a long-term let, but you start renting it out on short term, then the freeholder might hound the landlord.
Exactly.
And then the landlord comes to you and says, sorry, this is actually, and then you've suddenly spent $5,000 on furniture and staging and marketing and now you've lost the deal, which sucks.
That's it. And some landlords don't even know.
Yeah,
So they'll just agree to it. And then, you know, say if you don't check it, you could get 3-4 months down the line.
Yeah.
The letter comes in to the landlord and they're like, oh.
What are the biggest reasons the deals fall through? So let's say you agree a rent to rent.
Yeah.
What are the reasons that you might have to back out or the landlord backs out? What are the kind of problems that people don't necessarily see?
Yeah, so it would essentially be potentially being outbid.
Okay.
So a lot of, this can be a bit of a pain. A lot of people who are just coming into it can sort of tell the landlord that they could get high, we can give you higher. And then, you know, it doesn't actually stack very well at these numbers. But now a landlord's got in their head, oh, we could get this.
Yeah.
So they sort of end up pulling out. Or like you said, head lease restrictions are a big one. And what I've found is the longer you leave it for the deal to be closed, the more possibility, the more chance you give it to sort of fall through.
Yeah.
So I like to get them sort of closed and wrapped up within sort of the same day, if not the next day.
Yeah. Do you think that the landlords are benefiting from renting out to companies like yours?
Oh, 100%.
Why? What's in it for the landlords?
Yeah, so, well, this is another thing as well. When speaking to landlords, this is something that you can obviously explain to them because they won't know. Obviously, with tenant rights, that can be a big issue for the landlords. You know, I've heard stories about people who are staying in properties, they didn't want to pay the rent. They've gone to seek advice from councils or whatnot, and they've just said, oh, just stay in there and just take it to court. But the landlord's sitting there for 5, 6, 7 months, whatever it is, with no money, with no income. It's their livelihood.
Yeah.
But obviously with us, for the landlords, there's no tenant rights.
So the landlord, if you don't pay, can terminate your commercial lease.
That's it.
And you've not got tenants because you're doing it with serviced accommodation.
Exactly.
So there's no tenants.
There's no tenants and there's no tenants rights at all involved. So it's great for the landlords. And then obviously they've got their rent for a long-term period, 3 to 5 years, no void periods.
Mate, your knowledge is so impressive.
It's all from you.
Yeah, well, I'm impressed. I mean, honestly, you can't have your level of knowledge and not have the success.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you clearly know what you're talking about. You know all about head leases and what to say and it's impressive.
Certainly, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's impressive stuff. I can see it. And you're also securing lease options now.
Yes.
Tell me about that. What's the difference between a rent-to-rent and a lease option?
So a rent-to-rent and a lease option are pretty similar, apart from at the end of the agreement, you've got the option to purchase the property, which is absolutely amazing. And then obviously when you go into a lease option, you've got the option to say no, but the owner hasn't.
So give me an example. Give me an example of one of your recent lease
options. So the one I got recently, funny enough, I got referred as a management company. Mm-hmm. And the lady, she's fantastic. She's from London, actually. And she said, oh, do you know what? I've had a bad experience with management companies. I might just rent it out. So I said, oh, how about this? We'll give you a guaranteed rent to rent. And she said, oh, I've heard bad experiences about rent to rent. And I kept talking to her, kept trying to help her. And it got to the point where she said, oh, I said, well, what do you want to do? Like, if it was up to you, what would you like to do? The property?
Great question.
Yeah. And she said, well, I might just get rid of it. And I said, well, you know, instead of getting rid of it, how about this? How about we give you, you know, we cover the mortgage and give you a little bit on top for, say, 5 years. And at the end of it, we'll give you, we'll purchase the property from you. And she said, oh, okay. Well, would I lose money on the property? Would you have to give me a lower price? I said, well, how much did you buy it for? I'll look at the numbers and whatnot. She bought it for $185 3 years ago. And we've agreed $190 in 5 years.
Huh.
Yeah. And the market value right now is $210.
Dude.
So it's a good deal.
So, but she's happy because she's getting more than, she's basically sick of the property.
She's sick of it.
She's just like, ugh, I don't want it. So you're buying it for $190. So she's making a small $5,000 profit.
Yeah.
But by the time you come to buy it, if it's already worth $210, it's probably going to be worth close to $300.
Yeah.
Especially if properties go up, like the Economist is saying.
That's it.
But then you're paying her how much a month?
So we're paying her $800 a month.
And how much will you make on that from doing it rent to rent?
We'll make on top of that, on top after bills and rent, we'll make $900 on top of that profit.
And that £900 a month that you're making, presumably you're going to put it aside.
That's it.
Yeah. And then let it build. And then at the end of the 5 years, you'll use that as a deposit.
Exactly.
That's absolutely genius. Yeah,
that's it.
How do you feel like doing what you're doing now, making the money you're making?
Yeah, it's great to be honest, because like we said before, like at the start, it's like, it's not working, like, I'm trying. But as soon as we give 100% effort into it and you focus on it, it's amazing what you can do. And like you said, I'm making a lot more than I would be. I'm sort of, well, I'm able to go wherever I want, whenever I want, not having to work for somebody. It's fantastic, really. And it helps my training as well.
Yeah.
With my sports training, I can do that. I can be in South Wales. I can be in Liverpool. It doesn't matter.
Well, I have to be stuck in a petrol station.
Stuck in a petrol station.
Was that fun though, or was it horrible?
It was horrible.
I love the way you thought about it. You visualised it.
I remember it now.
What were you doing? What were you doing at the petrol station?
Well, so to be honest, so like I said, I was still in uni doing my degree.
Yeah.
but it was COVID and I wanted to save up a bit of money. So I was doing day and night in the petrol station. Yeah. So I was just serving people their cigarettes at 3 o'clock in the morning. The same guy would be there every day at the same time for his lemonade and cigarettes and serve him. And I'm sitting there. The only good thing that came from that was because no one went there at night. I was just doing my online training on the academy.
Oh, wait, like my training?
That's it, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I was just drilling through that. I was even emailing it. When I got to about 4 or 5 o'clock, I'd be emailing or texting people on Open Rent, getting their details. So I was essentially, I worked it out in my head to help me get through it at the time. I'm getting paid to sort of do my property
stuff.
Yeah,
kind of, yeah. So, how did you justify the £12,000 investment for the academy?
So for me, that was everything I had at the point. Obviously, we go to Heathrow, we do the court live training, and you see how great it is. And it's like, it's a no-brainer. And if you can access the funds, it's like, you need to do it. And I remember after I paid for it, I think I had 50 quid. And I was like, this has got to work now.
Yeah.
This has got to work. So how did I justify it? It was just a case of, well, in 10 years' time, this is what I used to say, in 10 years' time, am I going to think about this 12 grand? I'm happy I've got this. No, I wouldn't really be happy. But in 10 years, the alternative is I've invested it and it does work.
Mm-hmm.
Then I could have a different life.
So you just did a best case, worst case.
Worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario is I lose 12 grand and it's a real pain in the ass.
And in 10 years, I'm not going to think
about it.
But
best case, in 10 years, you won't be working a job.
Exactly.
But as it happens, it was 1 or 2 years.
That's it.
Talk about mindset. What changed from a year ago when you were in the pits and feeling really rubbish? And as you said, like ashamed. I've really tried. I've invested in myself. I'm not getting anywhere. What do you think the switch was? Was it work ethic? Was it mindset? Was it just that your expectations were too high and it was hard? What do you think it was?
I think it was a bit of everything, to be honest with you. When I spoke to you, you said it as well. You said, look, well, what have you done in your Taekwondo? Was it easy at the start? I was like, no, it wasn't. But now, second nature. And like, it becomes the same in business as well. So for example, now it's a lot easier than when it was at the start.
Yeah.
So I think just persistence and staying consistent as well. When I was in, like I said, when I was in placement and I was doing my sports, I didn't have much time. And at the start, I was like, well, I've got no time. I can't do it. But then what was I doing on my lunch breaks? I was just chilling out, relaxing, not doing much. But then when I started taking action, 5 phone calls a day, if you just did Monday to Friday, that's 25 a week, that's 100 a month.
Mm.
The way I see it, if you can convert 1% of that, which is, it's not very good, that's a deal. That's £3,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just staying consistent, being persistent, not making excuses.
What do your family think about what you're doing now?
Well, they like it now. At the start, they thought I was a lunatic.
Did they?
Yeah.
They were like proper skeptical.
Brainwashed.
Yeah.
Brainwashed through COVID. Why are you watching these videos? Like, no, don't be silly. They don't do that. Obviously, that was a big thing as well. I needed to prove, that I was right in doing it.
So it's interesting though, and you'll have heard me say this before, but when you went to study business at uni, I bet they were well pleased.
100%.
Yeah. Oh, well done. Even though you're learning from people that have never had a business.
Not a business.
But then when you spend less money, let's be real, a lot less. How much was your business course?
Well,
did you get your degree?
So I did 4 years in uni.
How much did it cost?
So it's over 9 grand each year.
So that's what, 9, 18, 36 grand?
36. And then you've got you've got your maintenance loan as well. So you're near enough 50 grand in.
What do you mean your maintenance loan?
So when you go to uni, you have to have a loan to do the student accommodation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, your living expenses and whatnot.
Oh, so you're doing about 50K. Well.
Yeah.
So 50K to learn about business, where you're actually learning about how to have a job in a business.
Yeah.
And you're learning from people who've never been successful in business.
Never.
Whereas then you spend 12 and you've got me at the other end of the phone. You've got lawyers, chartered accountants. You've got all these millionaire mentors, Tony. You're in the community with people that are actually making a lot of money, helping you, supporting you, unlimited for a year. And it's madness, isn't it? That people are like, oh my gosh, you're being brainwashed. Well, hang on, what do you mean I'm being brainwashed? Being brainwashed is going to uni. Being brainwashed is going to school, going to uni, having a job, living a normal life, getting a house, paying off the mortgage and working till I'm 77 and then retiring. Broke.
And because that's the norm, it's it's like everyone just expects that. It's like, that's the normal. That's normal. You can't.
But
get
when anyone does anything different and anything great, there's always pushback.
100%.
And it's not because the family and friends don't want you to succeed. It's because they don't understand it.
They do not understand, and they just want what's best for you. And they think, oh, you've done all this work working in the petrol station for hours and whatnot. Don't waste that money. Don't waste it.
Yeah.
So
that's a big thing, though. I think environment is really important. Were you coming to all like the academy dinners and stuff like that?
That's another thing that changed. First, when I wasn't doing well, I wasn't networking.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to the academy dinners. And as soon as you get in that environment, it's a lot better. And like you just said then, you've got the family who obviously don't understand it. You've got your friends who aren't doing it. And if you're in that sort of mindset and environment, it sort of almost wears off on you a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. And but when you come to the academy and you've got, well, some of the academy meals now is hundreds.
Yeah. Hundreds. I think there was 350 at the last one.
350 people in there that are all doing really well, all with the same mindset. It's fantastic.
So I guess the lesson is to surround yourself with positive people.
Yeah.
And also, if any academy members are watching this, you know, persist, but also utilize the academy.
Yep, definitely.
If you've invested and you've got access to all these networks, all this mentoring, like you did, and you reached out to me and said, I feel terrible, this sucks. You've got to do that. You've got to be prepared to put your ego aside and say, help me.
That's it. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do.
It's hard to do, especially when you know that a year later it's going to be read out on Windows on a Wednesday.
There you go. Now everyone knows.
I did ask you though, permission. It is. But you've got to do that. And I do that. You know, if I'm struggling, even today, if I'm like struggling with something, put my cards on the table and I'll say to my mentors, man, I feel terrible. I feel like a failure. Yeah. And you've got to be prepared to, if you're too proud, you'll get in your own way.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I know how I felt now when I was struggling.
Yeah.
So that's something that, you know, I want to pass on to other academy members that are maybe starting.
Yeah.
They're seeing some people get success in 2 weeks.
Was it annoying seeing everybody you know, around you win? Or, you know, you've seen everybody on the academy who joined at the same time as you?
It's like, weird because it's motivating.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you're like, is it just me?
Yeah.
But obviously, because, you know, that's why I say reach out, because I bet there's a few, you know, people that haven't got their first deal
you
yet.
You know what though? It's actually good when people feel a bit rubbish and they're seeing everyone around them who are winning and they're like, oh, it's good.
Yeah.
Because it's positive peer pressure.
Yeah.
If you're around people that pat you on the back and go, oh, just have a safe job. It's okay. Don't worry about being a millionaire. That's going to keep you poor.
That's it. Yeah.
So, and you're deal selling a lot as well, man. So I respect that. I really do. I think deal selling is a very good way to make money. You're packaging and selling deals. You're controlling properties. Because you've become better, the bank will always follow.
Yeah, 100%.
So, mate, I'm really proud of you, man. No, hopefully people will get in touch. Simply Made Sourcing, my man Dylan, rock star. Proud of you, mate. No. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so
much. Well done for turning it around.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for that.